come with me, beloved, to Nazareth, the village where Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Come with me and learn the gospel of Matthew right on site here in the land of the book where it all began. Come with me, beloved, and discover truth. Discover the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And remember that no man comes to the Father except by him. I want to welcome you to Nazareth, to the village of Nazareth. I'm outside a home that is much like the home where Mary lived. We're about to study the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to study it in the land of the book where it all happened. And as we open the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew begins right from the beginning with stating that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the son of David, that he is the son of Abraham. He's establishing the credentials of the one that he is going to present to us, the one that's going to come with the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is all about. Matthew is about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is about the king who has the right to rule. It opens with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's so important that the reader understand in this gospel that Jesus has the credentials that certify him as the king of the Jews. And I want us to go back. I want us to take just that first verse, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and I want us to see what he is telling us. I want us to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, remember, David wants to build a house for God. And God says, no, David, I'm not going to build a house. You're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. He says in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 7, now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be the ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before you. I will make you a great name, like the name of great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. That place that he's going to appoint for his people Israel is the holy city of Jerusalem. It's the heavenly, the earthly Zion. It says, nor will the wicked afflict them anymore as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. The house that he's going to make is not a building. Rather, it is a family. And the son of David is going to sit upon the throne. He says in verse 16, your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever. What we see as we open the Gospel of Matthew is we see that the time has come. The time has come. The descendant of David, the Messiah, is here. The Mashiach, HaMashiach, Yeshua, the one who saves, is here. When we go from there to 2 Chronicles, we see that this is called a covenant. And I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13 in verse 5, it says, do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt. This is what we call the Davidic covenant. And so anyone who was going to be the Messiah was going to have to be from the house of David. And I want you to see this one phrase when he says, the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant. So when you trace the genealogy of Jesus back in time, you have to come to David. Well, there's one other verse that I want you to see. Well, there are two other verses I want you to see because I want you to understand this, because this is everything hinges on this genealogy. In Psalm 89, in verse 20, it says, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. Verse 29, so I will establish his descendants forever. It's important to mark that time phrase. I will establish his descendants forever and his throne as the days of heaven. In other words, it's going to be a kingdom that will not end. And what Matthew is doing is Matthew is introducing to us Jesus, who is the Son of God, born of Mary and raised in this village in Nazareth. I want us to go one more place, and that's Acts chapter 13. And in Acts chapter 13, I want us to see what happens when the gospel is being presented so that they understand who Jesus Christ is. And this is Paul speaking. And as he speaks, he says to men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out. It says for a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. When he destroyed seven nations and the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of this man, this is so key, according to the promise, according to the covenant that we read about, God has brought to Israel a Savior. God has brought to Israel a Savior. And then he names him Jesus. After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all Israel. And while John was completing his course, he kept saying, and what do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one who was coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us this message of salvation has been sent. This message of salvation really, in essence, began here in Nazareth. It began here in Nazareth when an angel appeared to Mary to tell her that she was going to bear the Messiah. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. It says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. I would take that word Messiah and draw a Star of David over it. And then I would color it yellow. Then I would underline the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, it's very important that he is a descendant of Abraham also. And I want to show you why. I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 12. And maybe you're familiar with this very, very key passage. But in Genesis chapter 12, Abram is just another Gentile. But then the Lord speaks and he calls him. He tells him to go forth from his country. And then he makes this statement in verse 2. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. When we get to the book of Galatians, Paul tells us in Galatians that when he said, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, he was preaching the gospel and he was preaching the good news to the Gentiles. Salvation begins from the Jews, but then it spreads to the Gentiles. Matthew is going to show us what happens when the son of David, the son of Abraham, finally comes, when the fullness of time, God causes his son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law. And who is this son? The son is the son of David. The son is the son of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, and it's a very important passage, he has waited now for a number of years, and his wife Sarai has still not had a child. And he's wondering, God, how are you going to give me a child? How can I be the father of a nation and all the nations of the earth be blessed in me if I have no child? How can that happen? He says in verse 2 of Genesis 15, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Could it be my servant? Is that the way that you're going to do it? And then it says in verse 4, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man shall not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And then verse 6 tells us of Abraham's salvation. Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and he, God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. God gave him the promise that a seed would come from his body, and Abraham believed God, and Abraham knew that it was the Messiah, and God reckoned him as righteous simply by faith. There's so much more for you and I to glean from these verses, and we'll do it in just a minute.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017, and we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
As Matthew opens his gospel, he gives us the essence, the crux of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We looked at Genesis chapter 15, and in Genesis chapter 15, we saw that God took Abraham out and showed him the stars of the sky and said, so shall your seed be. Galatians chapter 3 interprets that for us. So then we understand why Abraham was declared righteous at that moment. God made him a promise, and he believed that promise. He took God at his word, and that's what faith is. But in Galatians 3, verse 16, it says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say, "and to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed," that is Christ. Christ is another word for Messiah. It means the same thing, the anointed one, the promised one, the one that was promised in Genesis chapter 3, the one that would come and bruise the head of the serpent, the one that would come and overcome evil. This is him. This is he. This is Jesus Christ. And so when we look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we follow the genealogy, and what we come to the conclusion is that in verse 16, that Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So once again, you want to mark Messiah. Now, I'm telling you to mark all these things, and I want you to know that we have a free study guide for you. You can simply download this study guide. You can go to preceptsforlife.com, and you can download the whole book of Matthew and a wonderful, wonderful study guide that will help you discover truth for yourself, that will help you study God's word so that through his precepts you get understanding, and then you hate every false way because you've discovered truth, and it is truth that sets you free. You know, God reserves for those who study the word of God an intimacy with him that you cannot know apart from spending time in the word of God. Well, as we look at this genealogy, I want you to see one other thing in the genealogy. It's not a complete genealogy. It's a partial genealogy, and he divides it into 14 generations and 14 generations and 14 generations. But as we read the genealogy, it's a genealogy that's like no other, but because it includes women. But the women that are included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, are women that show the pure grace of God. Remember now, Jesus had come, and he had come to bring this new covenant. He was a mediator of a new covenant that would be in his blood. It was a covenant of grace. The law could only show us our sin, but the law could not deliver us from sin. But the new covenant can remove, give us forgiveness of sins, remove our heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh. It's a covenant of grace. It says in John that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You see that grace in his genealogy. In verse 3, it says, Judah, well, let me read verse 2. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now, we know from a prophecy in Genesis that Messiah would come from the line of Judah, that the scepter would come from Judah, that it would not depart out of his hand. And so Judah had to be in the line genealogy of the Messiah. But it goes on to say, and Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Tamar is Judah's daughter-in-law. She married Judah's son. He died. She married another of Judah's sons, and he died. And Judah promised, "I'll give you my other son when he grows up," but Judah never did it. And according to the law, if your husband died, then the brother was to raise up a seed so that that family name will continue. Well, when Judah wouldn't do that, Tamar dressed herself like a harlot, and she went and she sat beside the road. And as she sat beside the road, Judah came by and hired her for sexual purposes. She took his staff, she took several things of his, and said, okay, when you send me back the goat, I'll send you these things. Well, then Judah noticed eventually that Tamar was pregnant, and he was about to put her to death because she had been unfaithful. And then he found out that that child, that those children in her womb, those twins, and those twins were Perez and Zerah, that those twins in her womb were his seed. Oh, the grace of God, that God would put this woman in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But it also shows Tamar's faith. It shows Tamar's obedience to the law when Judah was reticent to obey. Then you come down to verse 5. And Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Who is Rahab? Rahab is the harlot. Rahab is a Gentile. A Gentile who lives in Jericho, who hides the 12 spies, and consequently is saved in the destruction of Jericho. She's a woman who against all odds believes God. And God puts her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt, I'm nothing. Look at my past. How could I ever be accepted by God? Well, this is what the gospel is all about. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to get those who were sick, who needed the physician, who needed God to heal them of their sins. And then it says, and Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. Ruth is another Gentile. A Gentile whose husband is a Jew who dies. And you know the story of Ruth and how she follows Naomi and how God gives her a new husband in Boaz. And then it says, and Jesse was the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba. By Bathsheba. Who's Bathsheba? She's the woman that David took in adultery. She's the one that he saw on the roof of the house. What do you see? You see the grace of God. And right from the beginning, he wants to show them that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so he puts the names of these sinful women or these Gentile women, and he's going to save Gentiles as well, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And then this is what it says in verse 17. So from all the generations, from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, you want to mark it again, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary, who had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. A virgin is going to conceive, and the child that she is going to bring forth does not have a genealogy of a father except through the legal line of Joseph, because God is the Father of Jesus Christ. We'll look at it in our next lesson here in Nazareth. So excited, beloved, to be studying the Gospel of Matthew with you, the Gospel of the King, the Gospel of the Messiah, the Gospel that is going to teach you so much about the Kingdom of Heaven. And it is my prayer that you will come to know God in an intimate way, in a way that you have never known him before, because of the time that you will spend in the Word of God. Remember, his words are spirit. His words are life. And this is the very bread by which we live. It's so exciting to be able to stand here in the Nazareth Village, a village that has been built right here in the midst of downtown Nazareth. And it's been built so that pilgrims can come from all over the world and see what life was like, what a house was like in those days, what a synagogue was like. There are donkeys up there. You may hear them even bray during the program. We're in the midst of a city, and yet we're in the midst of a time that steps back to the time of Jesus Christ. And what is his precept for life for you today, precious one, as we begin our study? His precept for life is this, that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are sinners who have repented. He shows us in this genealogy that the king has come, the one who was going to sit on the throne of David forever. And God wants you to understand, yes, that he's the son of David. Yes, he's the son of Abraham. But look at the women in the genealogy. Do you know how Jews determine whether you're a Jew or not? Your mother has to be Jewish, not your father. It has to be your mother. Look at these women. Look at these women that had difficult lives. Look at these women that were harlots. Look at these women that were a woman that was a Gentile, a woman that was seduced by a man. And if you feel unclean, beloved, you can know this. You can be made clean through Jesus, the Messiah. This is what this book is all about. It's not a matter of where you were born, but it's a matter of being born again into the family of God so that you can be part of the kingdom of heaven, so that you can belong to the King of Kings, and so that someday you can come with him back to this land where he will rule and reign as king forever and ever and ever. And all the nations will come and bow before Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and mourn because they did not believe when they had the chance. Believe, beloved. It's a book about faith. It's a book about grace. And grace is laid hold of through faith.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.